And go.
And there it is. Yay.
Yay, it worked.
This is new. We're all together. Success.
Yay.
Made it.
I don't like this as much.
Mm. Oh, no. So you may be wondering why we're all here together. And that is because this is the Renegade Retreat. We've done this 2 years now.
I want to hear Sarah do the intro.
Oh, yeah. We messed it up already.
Yeah. Come on, Sarah.
Welcome to the Renegade Society Radio Show! Woo! And we are Scott Gaeta, president of Renegade Game Studios, Danny Lowe, our associate marketing master, and I am Sarah Erickson, director of sales and marketing. Thank you all for joining us.
Did you say marketing master?
You did. I'm pleased with that.
New business cards. That's right.
Nope.
And yeah, we are actually at the Renegade Studio.
We are still under construction.
Yeah. But we have blue walls.
We have a blue wall.
That's true.
We have a few blue walls, but yeah. Yeah. So far so good. But we've all been in town, and there's also Dan Bojanowski's here in town.
Yeah, Bojo's over there.
Yeah, he's playing games. And there's Jonathan Ying. He's passing by.
Jonathan. Hi.
Yeah, you can say hello.
We'll bring you back.
Hi.
So basically, they say hello,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Hi.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hello. Yay. Hi. So what are we doing here? Why am I here?
I don't know. Yeah. So because it's snowing in Montana.
It is snowing in Montana. That's why I should be there, not here.
Yeah, whatever. So we're here because we're planning our year and firming up our plans that we've been working on for the last 3 or 4 months and going over everything in detail and getting it all ready to go. And then we're also spending the week playing prototypes of games as we're filling out our catalog for 2020.
Yeah, 2019, we already know everything we're making.
We're done.
It's all planned.
Yep.
All
the months. Nothing to do.
Oh, maybe for you.
All the work is done.
Yeah, Danny and I still have some things to do in 2019. Yeah. But as far as what Dan and Scott are doing, they are working on games for 2020. So that is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of good games.
Yeah. And Danny and I are working on treats for all of our fans for the rest of this year.
What does that mean?
Fun things.
Extra
stuff that you don't know about yet.
So we added some conventions this year. We're going to go to some new places. Where are we going that's new?
In April, we'll be at PAX East. That's new.
Where's that?
That's in Boston.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's the very, very end of March. Then in the very, very end of May, we'll be in Birmingham, UK for UK Games Expo. That one's also new. We're very excited about that one. And maybe another PAX.
Yeah, we might go to PAX West. Mm-hmm. I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah, it's in September.
Yeah.
You may have heard of an exciting thing called Clank Legacy Acquisitions Incorporated. So that's potentially releasing in September.
Yep. Starwolf is busy finishing all that up and all that. But yeah, hopefully it'll be out sometime later that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So lots of fun things to do at conventions this year. We're planning out what our booths are going to look like, any extra stuff, like events that we're doing at those. We have some really cool stuff on the schedule that we'll be talking about as we get closer.
Yeah, so lots of conventions. And then what conventions are we going to that we've been to in the past? Where else can people find us next year?
So many.
It's a long list. It's true.
The shows that you all care about. There is Origins Game Fair in June. That's in Columbus, Ohio. Then we Scott and I will be at San Diego Comic Con.
But that's not really.
We don't have a booth.
Yeah, that we're just there for meetings. You won't actually be able to see us there.
Yeah,
so,
we'll just look like regular people, incognito, not in blue.
Yeah, so just consumer shows. Like, where will we have a booth?
Gen Con.
Okay.
August. That's in Indianapolis.
PAX Unplugged.
Mm-hmm. That is
back from that.
At the end of the year, that's in Philly again.
Yeah. BGGCon.
BGGCon in Dallas.
Yeah. Essen Spiel in Germany.
In Essen.
In Essen, Germany. Yeah.
And Shucks in Vancouver, Canada. That, I think, is also in October.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. So we'll be there. You can come demo games.
Yeah, we'll be showing off brand new games, maybe even some previews of games that aren't out yet, depending on the time of year. So We have definitely good reasons to be there. Where are you guys going to be? If you're going to a convention in 2019, post it in the chat. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
Question, will we be at Toy Fair? Sarah will be there, but in the same capacity that Scott and I will be at San Diego Comic Con. You won't really, we don't have a booth. You may see Sarah, you can say hi. But
yeah, Toy Fair is not really open to the public, you know, come demo games sort of a thing. It's more lots of meetings and boring stuff, so that's why Sarah gets to go.
They send me the fun ones.
That's right.
Fun. Mandatory fun.
Yeah. Yeah, New York in February.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, Boston in April, it snowed last year. Someone said PAX East was the best because it's in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
They do have very good cannolis. I'm excited about that.
In Boston?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big Italian area.
Yeah,
right. I've had cannolis in Boston, in fact.
Really?
Yeah, with Leisha.
How do they compare to the cannoli? Oh, that's a story. So how do they compare to the cannolis in Philadelphia at PAX Unplugged? Because that's a big deal there, too.
Those are really good.
Those were awesome. There's a cannoli place inside the market that's right across the street from PAX Unplugged.
Yeah.
Man, that bakery is amazing. Those cannolis are probably the best I've had.
So wait a second. So the Philadelphia cannolis are better than the Boston cannolis?
Are you starting fights?
I'm probably starting fights. It has been too long for me to remember the cannolis in Boston.
Okay.
So I think you guys will probably have to tell me, because you're going to PAX East, so you'll have to have a fight.
Okay.
Fight for the best cannoli.
Okay.
I'll enjoy that wholeheartedly. do we plan to do more panel talks at conventions like we did at PAX Unplugged? Those were really fun to do. Fun to listen to.
Yes. And if you didn't listen to them, I'm pretty sure they're all posted on the PAX site. So Scott talked about industry, just what's going on in the industry. And then what was your other panel?
So the one panel that I was on with like John Zinzer from AEG, Mandy Hutchins, who sometimes is with us, and also from the Dice Tower. Who else was on that panel?
Mike Webb.
Oh, Mike Webb was on the panel.
Travis
Severance from Millennium Games. Who was our moderator?
Sarah
was our moderator. And that was kind of state of the industry panel. And then I was on another panel with Tim Bowers and Patrick Leader from Leader Games. And by Charles MacArthur was our moderator, who's a game industry intellectual property attorney. And we talked about games and running game companies and mistakes that we've made and learning from us and stuff like that.
If you're a designer especially, I would go back and watch that panel. It was really informative.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time. So yeah, hopefully you'll see us on other panels at other shows. Sometimes we are asked to help put panels on and for feedback on that. Other times we just get invited. So I'm always happy to do panels if somebody wants me or anybody else to be on the panel. We'll do it. So there you go.
I'm getting some cannoli recommendations.
Cannoli recommendations.
Bova's Bakery in Boston.
In Boston. Okay. Boston.
I'll remember. Someone is critiquing our couches. We do have more than one couch.
What? What's wrong with our couch?
I like these.
There's two of us. It's roomy.
What do they say?
It's small.
Well.
Are you saying we're big? I don't get it.
Oof.
I think somebody just called you Fat Danny.
Oh! No. We also have beanbag chairs. I like the beanbag chairs.
We do have beanbag chairs.
They're cool.
Yeah, they're in the other room, though.
We've been spending all week having meetings and brainstorming sessions. So in the room right over there, actually, we've got a little army of beanbags and a whiteboard wall, big TV. It's very fun.
The whiteboard wall is pretty hilarious because Scott's wife almost passed out trying to make it for us.
That's true.
The funny part.
Thanks, Robin.
Yeah.
Thanks, Robin.
Yeah, but it works now.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
If you don't have a whiteboard room in your house, I recommend them, but only if you wear a gas mask while you paint it.
Or if you have kids, you should just paint everything from their height down to the floor in this whiteboard paint, and then they can just write all over the walls anyway, and then you can just wipe it off.
The first thing I did when I walked in was immediately start drawing on the board. And there was a moment, like, I did the first mark, and I'm like, oh, I erased it just to make sure before I continued.
Yeah, Sharpies can't go in that room.
No.
Oh,
oops.
Yeah, you still have to use dry erase, so.
Yeah. Dangerous.
It's good. All right, so we've worked on conventions since we've been here, release schedule stuff, firming that up for next year. We're evaluating games for 2020 and beyond. We're playtesting stuff that we already have on the schedule. What else?
We've also,
lots of stuff.
Yeah, playing some games that we're working on that have already been signed, are totally finished, but like Danny and I didn't get to be part of the process. And so now that we're going to be telling you about them, we wanted to play them for ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. So some of the games that are coming out, even in just the next few months, we're getting to play, which has been awesome. Mm-hmm. It's fun to play prototypes, but you're missing the art and the graphic design and all that stuff. So I feel very lucky that we get to play finished games too.
Yeah. So not everything we tell you online is genuine. We are actually excited because we actually got to play the games. It's better for everyone.
Yeah, we just played a game last night that you will be hearing about very soon that I am so excited about.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't play, it's fine.
That's the most fun
I've
had playing a game.
Have you won a game so far this week?
No. All of us were dead for a significant part of
really?
The game.
Yeah,
we all
missed
people.
I missed out on last night's game, but I didn't miss out on yesterday afternoon's game.
Oh,
the one I lost really bad.
Mm-hmm.
That was painful.
Mm-hmm.
I got to watch.
Critical errors were made.
I made mistakes. I didn't understand. When you see a scary monster, my advice to you is don't run at it as fast as possible.
Well,
I think that's perfect strategy when it's my monster.
Yeah.
I may have taken my smallest guy and sprinted towards the biggest guy on the board, and I did not get to move for the rest of the game because I was dead.
Well, I mean, you had other people.
That guy did not get
that guy was
dead. Yeah, he stopped living.
That's right. It was fine. It worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dan and I. We're a team.
Yep. It was Dan, Scott, and me and TC, who you will maybe meet later in this hour. He's here with us too.
Maybe. If he'll suffer you.
If you ask nicely.
If you ask nicely, maybe TC will come out.
We've got some questions going.
Mm.
Are we hanging out with Game Tree Media sometime this year?
Not if it's Rick.
Hi, Rick!
Yes, I will be hanging out with Rick at almost every show that we're both at.
Yes, we like Rick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we're at conventions, we actually do quite a lot of live streaming, especially with Rick. So if you want to see what we have going on at the convention, you can't be there, then Game Trade Media does a ton of different videos, and we always try and do one with him too. But it's a great way to figure out what's going on at the convention and see all the good new stuff.
Yeah, they should link their channel in the chat.
Yeah,
that would be
The Architects video you just made.
I don't know if links if they can post.
Maybe we can only do it.
But you can find Game Trade Media's Facebook page or their YouTube channel is excellent. Like Painting Happy Minis or Little
Painting Happy Little Minis.
Yeah, Painting
right?
Happy Little
yeah.
Minis is an excellent channel, especially anyone here who's from the Power Rangers Kickstarter. If you've enjoyed our painting videos we've already posted, go check out Rick's channel, the Game Tree Media, as well, because he has tons of really good painting tips.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah, speaking of painting, too, we just did an update a few weeks ago, put out Terry's first video for Power Rangers. Or
second one.
Oh, they're both
up? Yeah, they're both up. Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, it teaches you how to paint all five of the Rangers and all of the supplies that you need, everything. If you've never painted before, it'll get you started.
Yep.
Yeah. Terry's so friendly. I love listening to her work.
She's fun.
Yeah. No, it's good. So, speaking of Power Rangers, we had a package coming of samples.
Are you going to spoil it?
We can show them off, I guess. They're pretty much done.
They look great. I'm really happy with how they turned out. Those?
Yeah, those over there.
Okay. Would you guys like to see those things right over there?
Did they say yes?
Go Power Rangers.
Okay, that's good. All right, we got a response. Okay, so we have the dice. So, I don't have a regular size die to compare these to.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Can you grab us a die?
Like a normal?
Okay. Yeah, like a normal wimpy size die.
Totally unexciting die.
Yeah, like, you know, average size.
Six-sided die. Well, let's see if I can find a six-sider.
So, right, we have all the Rangers and all the different colors.
So this is a D10. Like,
this is a D10, right? Like kind of a normal die. Here, I'll get in closer to the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? And here,
It's we really have the Power Rangers dice, are these big chunky square dice. Like these things are huge.
They're really cool.
Yeah.
So, kind of terrifying, really.
Yeah.
And these are the translucent ones. So
these are the translucent ones, all the different Ranger colors that come in the Ranger pack, and the regular game dice that are clear with black pips and everything. So, yeah, these things are awesome.
Yeah, I'm
so
excited.
If you wanted these are in the special dice pack. So even if you didn't get them as part of the Kickstarter already, then you can get these in retail later as well.
Yep, they'll be out in stores. Pink Rangers, pink dye, blue and the green.
Looks delicious.
They
don't eat them.
Yeah, don't eat the dice, but they are very, very cool. They came out great. So, yep, we approved these. These were our final tests, and they're in production now.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, actually, we put in our final numbers this week.
We did.
It's a pretty exciting moment to say we are committing to this many copies of these many things.
It's a whole lot of stuff. Yeah, so that's in production. And then Leisha and I, we were just going over dates today with the factories. So the factories shut down in about 2 to 3 weeks. But they're actually started production already. And then they go on, they have their New Year holiday, and they're closed down for about a month. And then they'll come back from their holiday, ramp back up, be in full production. And then about a month after that, we're going to go out to China and see all the stuff as it's being ready to be packed out, do one final check in person, make sure everything is right, and then they'll be assembling games. And then that'll take them about a month to assemble all the games, and then they're going to put them in containers, and then we'll be on a boat, and that takes about a month or so. So we're doing great schedule-wise.
Yeah, it's really important that Scott and Leisha go to China to do that, because then you can see every single little thing that's coming off the line. It means that we can get these games to you faster, because otherwise we have to be sending packages back and forth, and that can take a long time, but instead you can actually go there, make sure everything's good, and you can see the factory, make sure that everything is being done in a way that you're happy about it. Everything there is good.
All factories passed, they all have to be vetted and pass inspections to make sure that they're safe and they're following all the rules and everything else too. And they're all checked out. So that's all good.
Yeah. That's good to see in person.
Yeah. Yeah. But so we'll go out there and we'll take some video when we're out there at the factory. We won't be able to upload it when we're there. It's kind of hard to do. But when we get back, we'll be able to share some video and stuff of some of the figures coming from molds and pack out checks and all that sort of stuff.
Do we have any questions?
Who's handling the manufacturing?
Top men.
Top men
and women.
And women, mostly women.
Yes, mostly, lots of highly skilled. Well, actually, it's really interesting when you go there and you see, so it's not just like one factory. So producing a game like this, like one factory will do the dice, and that's what they specialize in, is doing dice. Another factory just makes, if you've ever seen steel molds, they could be as small as, you know, this, but they can also be so massive that you need a forklift to move half of them. But those steel molds are actually sculpted on the inside, like artisans. I've been to a mold factory before, and you see these guys that have been working on tooling on tools and sculpting out molds for decades, and they have apprentices that are learning from them too. So, and they're actually making the tool once the mold is cast, and they refine it and get in there, and then they run tests until it looks the way it's supposed to look when it comes out of the mold, and then they will move that to a different factory, and that factory actually hooks up the molds to machines it's called injection molding, and runs, you know, hot liquid plastic through the mold and goes into the mold, and that's where they're starting to produce, and then those will go to a different factory that maybe made our box and cards and all that, and it will be consolidated and packed out. So it's not as simple as just going to one place and everything's made under one roof. There's lots of different factories that specialize in what they do, and what they do they're the best at, and then it kind of all comes together.
Like, there are factories that only make the paper that we then ship to somewhere else to have it printed.
Right,
it's
exactly.
So specialized.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it's, these are, you know, they're in China, and that's where we'll be going and check it all out, and we'll take video and stuff like that, and you'll get to see all the cool stuff. But we've been getting proofs. We got a near final box. It's not quite there. It's like almost there. I think
it's very close.
It's very, very close, like 99.5%. I think
Danny took a picture of Jonathan holding the box. It's big, holding a lot of stuff, and that's just one of many boxes. So mm-hmm. that's the base box, and then there's another box that has all the Kickstarter exclusives in it. Then there's the Shattered Grid box, then there's the Villain box, and there's Megazord's box, and Cyclopsis's box. Mm-hmm. Lots of boxes with lots of stuff in them.
Yeah, so there's still a lot to do. Even though they're starting to print now, that doesn't mean it's going to be ready to ship right away.
No.
There's a lot
We're months away.
Yes, there's a lot of stuff in between. Things like we need to make sure that it ships without all being broken. So
right.
we'll do tests where we actually yep. take a bunch of boxes and we ship them somewhere and then we see if they got broken.
Right.
So it does take a long time, but we're on schedule. So
yep.
that's good.
We're on schedule for
yep.
July. That's our target. So far, so good. If anything, you know, it's always possible that there could be a delay if something goes wrong or, you know, we have another game that's unrelated to Power Rangers that was manufactured in Germany that is still not here. It's taking an abnormal amount of time to get here because of various customs delays and shipping delays, and sometimes it just happens. There was nothing anybody did wrong, just sometimes things take a long time. But that's usually the exception, not the rule. So far, so good.
And we promise to keep you updated. I mean,
yeah.
we can't control everything, but we'll
no.
tell you what's going on.
So far, it's looking good. I think we'll hit our date unless, you know, there's a typhoon or something.
Which could happen. Because all of our stuff could fall off the boat and end up at the bottom of the sea. You never know.
it could.
We have some people volunteering to be tribute for shipping tests.
For
oh.
shipping tests.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's good.
Nice
I mean,
try.
Yeah, there might not be anything in those boxes. But...
Yeah, they might be really sad.
yeah.
So we have a question that I think is related to the game that we just announced on Monday.
Oh, fun.
Proving Grounds.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
I'll tell you what. Why don't I leave and why don't I grab Dan?
Ooh.
And Dan can come
yeah.
in and talk about Proving Grounds.
That sounds excellent.
Right. I'm never coming back.
Oh, no! We're going to say all sorts of stuff now.
We're going to talk about Proving Grounds.
So Scott totally cheats in every game he plays.
Hi, Dan. So this is Dan.
Hello.
And Dan actually does all of our game producing. So just like a TV producer or a movie producer, Dan oversees a whole project and makes sure that's on the right track, gives it direction, and does all of the things that need to happen to make it a real live game at the end. Does that sum up what you do?
Sure.
Awesome.
Perfectly.
Fantastic. So tell us about Proving Grounds, the story of this game.
Well, it's the first game in a solo hero series that we're doing. So it is a solo game that kind of combines. So the solo hero series is going to be a line of games that will be both solo and will combine a story element. So in this particular one, it's going to have a little novella. I think it's 32 pages that will be kind of attached to the front. Just to kind of draw that out, you'll read through that, and it will kind of set the stage for introduce the characters, set the stage, and introduce you to the conflict that's happening. And then once you've read through it, you'll be able to kind of recreate and kind of play in that world, recreate the battle that's happening, and do it in new and different ways than that actually happened in the story. It's you know great. It's a real time. Dice rolling game from Kane Clanko, who makes great real-time games. There's a base game with 7 different modules for playing. So once you've kind of tried it once, there's all these different plug-and-play modules that will change the way you play. You could add 1, you could add 2, or if you're totally crazy, you add all 7, and it'll be super difficult. But it's super fun.
So what is your story related to this game? So you did some development work on it, you did art direction, you worked on getting the story together.
A little bit of everything. I mean, I you know, I don't dive deep into each of those things. We've got kind of a specialist for each of those. So Kane obviously did the heavy lifting on the design, and we had TC help us out on development, but I did my fingers into those. Also, we have a creative director who does a lot of the heavy lifting on the artwork, but I provide some art direction and art descriptions. We have an author who wrote the story, but it's kind of matching all those things up for some of the graphic design, the templates, approving all that, matching up the artwork that we're doing with the story, with the cards, and doing some development as well, playtesting with my family, my local playgroups, and providing feedback as well. So kind of a little bit of everything, kind of making sure the package comes together as a whole cohesive unit.
Exciting. I'm really excited about the idea of a solo game because I think that a lot of the people out there who are reading books or playing video games on their own or just whatever you do when you spend time on your own, I think those people really going to enjoy having something more active to do.
Right.
Because I love reading and just sitting there with a really good book, and I can do that to begin with. And then I can also play this game, which makes my brain work a little bit harder.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely an emerging market in gaming as well. We've seen that through all the different groups and through sales and things like that, that there are lots of people who out there who just love playing solo games. Love just that challenge.
So the question that brought this up was the app that you need to use with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see app integration with board games to be a trend in the future?
Definitely. We've got a number of projects that are headed in that direction. Most of them haven't been announced, but we've got a lot that play into that. Some more than others. Some where it's integral that you need to use it. Others where it's just juiced up timer or something that adds to the experience a little bit, like we do with Clank or Fuse and things like that. But I definitely see it as a trend that will continue to grow.
Yeah, we have an app already. It's free, the Renegade Companion app. So like Dan said, some of them just add extra ambiance to the game or extra scenarios. Some of them, like with Fuse, is a timer that's integral to gameplay. So we're already on this trend and we're working to continue that.
So with Proving Grounds, there will be a special app for that one that's, at its core, it's a timer, just a one-minute timer, but there will be other functionality in there where you, you can track the enemies that you've defeated. It will, when you're adding the different modules in, the turn sequence kind of changes, so it will dynamically give you, show the different turn sequences that you need to do. There'll be cheering when you win or, booze when you lose and things like that. So just adding some extra flair to your experience.
It's pretty neat. I think that is a really important trend that we're seeing in board games. You really have your finger on the pulse of the board game industry, looking at what good games are out there. You're looking at a lot of prototypes. Mm-hmm. What other trends are you seeing in board games right now that you're kind of looking at when you're thinking about your new games?
Good question.
That's a good question.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Let's see. I mean, there's definitely, a lot of, I'll say that, I think you guys probably already talked about what we're doing here, and we're doing a lot of prototypes. There's some, roll and rights are a big thing in our industry. You can't just do a standard roll and write. You got to have some sort of twist on it. So that's always kind of fun and exciting to see how people take a new and emerging core concept and run with it. Like Clank did with the deck building and put a board on it. What do you do with that core conceit that is new and exciting that people are all kind of running around now and saying not just roll and write but something different. So that's something that I've seen a bunch of exploration of that I'm excited. I like the genre, and I'd like to see it continue to grow. So.
This week, we've also been looking back at our games that came out in 2018 and sort of enjoying our success and seeing what we could have done differently or what we really did quite well. And one of the games that did really well last year, we had a few of them actually in our top list, seems like Architects, Fox in the Forest, Arboretum. I would love to hear from you guys what your favorite games from us from 2018 were. Dan, what was your one of the games that you worked on that you're really happy about in 2018?
I would say Spell Smashers is one that I'm really proud of how it came out. I think it's a super fun concept, and I think the execution turned out pretty well. I like the artwork from the Miko is great, and I've just had a lot of fun playing it with my family. My kids are often requesting it. Just the fact that it's not your typical word game. You're you can have the best word and have the worst turn. You know, you can have the worst word and have the best turn where you get these trophies and you can still do all the awesome stuff. So lots of laughs, lots of fun. I think it's a great, great product.
I'm terrible at spelling, so I usually don't like word games because I feel so much pressure to make this really big, long, complicated word. And that just isn't a thing in Spell Smashers. If you do that, then you can do a lot of damage to a monster, but it doesn't mean you're going to kill the monster.
Right.
And sometimes you only need 3 or 4 word letters in a word to be able to kill the monster and get a whole bunch of points. So that's a really good thing about this word game that's different than anything else I've ever played.
Yeah.
And the art's amazing. The Miko actually just did profile pics for everyone on our team. Those are really fun. If you go to our team page on our website, you can see all of them. They're exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They're silly. They're so good.
They're very silly.
What was your favorite game?
Favorite is a hard word. I love Arboretum. I've loved it for a really long time, and I was really excited to add it to our catalog this year. But I think one of the most surprising games for me was actually Genki Mono. I could play that game all day long, all the time. Oh, hey, look at that. We're prepared. So that was another really great one. I think that I'm really happy we have in our catalog. How about you, something, because you just started the team in May, so you're kind of jumping in feet first. What was the most fun project you worked on this year?
My most fun project was probably Spell Smashers 2, because when I joined the team, that was right when we were getting all the art assets, so I got to see new monsters every day. It was tons of fun. Genki Mono was also lots of fun, because it was our big Gen Con thing, so we had piles of it. It was on all of our banners. We have t-shirts of it. Yeah, that one was fun as well.
That's tough though. So we have Jonathan here.
Yeah.
And you have to get back to gaming.
Yeah, I got more prototypes to play.
So yeah,
all right, bye.
We're gonna pull Jonathan in and talk to him about an upcoming game he has. So
oh boy.
Jonathan Yeen, everyone. Yay!
Hey, got a couple games with you guys lately.
Yeah, so Jonathan is the designer of Power Rangers and also Bargain Quest, which chat was talking about. They're raving about
Bargain
Quest.
Oh, well, that's so validating emotionally. That feels great.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. That's right.
They'll say hi.
Yeah, no, that's fine. These are the digital samples that we got in from the factory a while back. Super excited to check them out. I don't know if we should open them or if I show them off. But production's coming along naturally. Like, I think we just had a whole conversation about Chinese New Year, I believe I overheard,
yeah,
and how that's going to have an effect. We're on similar things were happening with Bargain Quest, but things are coming along. Things look really good. I'm really excited about the new printing, mostly because we have new tokens in this one. New token sheets.
Not everyone may know about Bargain Quest. You want to give a really brief overview?
Oh, yeah. I suppose that's probably a good idea. Okay. So Bargain Quest is a game about running an item shop in an RPG town. Basically, each player takes the role of a shopkeeper. And the problem with living in RPG towns is that monsters like to attack. Luckily, brave heroes have come to fight those monsters, but they have two problems. They have no weapons or armor, and they have way too much money. And it is up to you, brave capitalists, to solve both of those problems for them. The game is a drafting game, where at the start of each round, players draft a hand of item cards, and you choose some to keep, pass them along. And then out of your drafted cards, you'll choose some items to place in your window, your display window, and some items to keep back to sell. Because whatever you place in your window determines which heroes you pull in, right? So the better the item, the more likely you'll get the hero that you want. However, whatever you place in your window is for display only and cannot be sold. So you're going to have to make a judgment call as to whether you want to put your best item out front and sell something else, or risk losing out on the hero you want but sell something super cool and make your hero super powerful. Heroes have a variety of abilities, like wizards will barter with shops and they'll trade items with you. Rogues will steal money from other shops to spend at yours, which is my favorite effect. Fighters will brag about your shop when they do well, and there's just a whole mess of different heroes, different monsters that do a variety of effects, do a number of bad things for every round they're not defeated. Game takes about 45 minutes to an hour, 2 to 6 players in the,
I love that I've spent my whole life as a gamer being the warrior, going into the dungeon, slaying the monsters, and now I get to be a shopkeeper and sell them stuff, which really appeals to me, since I own a store.
Yeah, I find a lot of D&D players take a lot of joy in just fleecing adventurers, just kind of getting to be on that side of the
the experience. It's been really fun. The response has been really tremendous. It's been great working with Renegade on the reprint because it released. We released it independently about a little over a year ago, and you know it was a modest success. But since then, it's kind of built up a bigger and bigger following, and I'm really glad to be working with Renegade because we were not us as like our small kind of indie outfit. We're not prepared for the wonderful fan response that people.
Yeah,
like,
the success of your campaign was amazing, but that does add a lot of extra work, and just managing all of that.
It was terrifying. Thank you, Scott.
So, Jonathan, we have a question. Are there any expansions available for Bargain Quest?
So
funny,
we
you should
actually
ask.
Have not announced yet that we are going to be doing the Black Market expansion.
Yep.
So we'll
yeah, the Black Market expansion of Bargain Quest, and this is the sample right here. It adds a completely new upgrade where you can sort of bid into the Black Market, where there are items that are very powerful or very dangerous or just kind of extra wacky. It also introduces a whole bunch of new heroes, a couple of new items. There's two new shop boards. I'm going to pull some out just to show them off.
The artwork's really
Yeah,
wonderful.
We got a whole bunch of new monsters. The art is all done by former Disney illustrator Victoria Ying, who is my sister.
She's
sort of
amazing,
family
by the
so
way.
Good. Oh, man.
If you're not a fan of her on Twitter, you should be. She posts stuff that's very beautiful. She's an incredible artist.
So yeah, we've got like so every player gets their own shop board. This is one of them, and they open up to be show your shop interior. This is one of the witch shops, and this is the other new shop, which is like a curiosity shop. It's filled with skeletons.
I love that they're all different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all completely unique. Everyone always really enjoys opening them up and be like, oh, this is mine.
I just opened my shop. Here it is.
Quite literally. Yeah, and then there's a whole bunch of employees that you can hire. There's a whole bunch of heroes that you can fleece, each with their own new unique abilities.
not help out fleece.
Well, I mean,
very specific.
There are different schools of thought on
how
heroes should be dealt with. But yeah, I really love the friendly fire elemental, who is a very fun little card. Like, Vicky did such a good job with these illustrations. We've also got sort of the other extreme, like the other expansion stuff, like the Chaotic Goods expansion, which we had in the, this was an add-on pack for the original Kickstarter printing. We basically ran out of them like immediately. And
so
it's nice to kind of actually have these back in circulation. So these are...
What's in there? What?
So the Chaotic Goods pack is a bunch of new heroes and employees, many of them done by guest artists. So,
fun.
Vicky and I both have a lot of friends in the art community. We have like artists from Riot, artists from all over the place. Sort of who really enjoyed the game and really were excited, like webcomic artists that we really like Yuko Oda, or so many good ones.
well, since
don't want to start the list because there's so many.
Yeah, since she's already part of the art industry, she's an artist, so I'm sure that your sister had lots of
she had a lot
of friends.
And she was like, "Hey, do you want to like illustrate a funny hero?" And they're like, "Do I?"
Yeah.
Yep. We got the solo mode, which people were very excited about. This was sort of put on as the Kickstarter got more and more successful. People started being like, "Hey, is there a way to do it solo?" Which Mark Larson, who was a friend of mine back when I worked at Fantasy Flight, and he currently works on escape rooms.
Oh, fine.
And Mark Larson was sort of the guy who helped kind of pioneer the solo mode for Bargain Quest. So it can now be played from 1 to 6 if you have this pack. And
I
then,
would love to hear from our audience how many of you actually play solo games. That would be fun. So post that in chat when you get a chance.
That would be valuable data. do you guys have some interest in solo games coming up or something? Is that something?
Yeah, Proving Grounds.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
We got a question earlier about app integration and Heroes of the Grid. And I think the best app companion would just be Jonathan recording things like, "More phenomenal! Go Power Rangers!"
Yeah, just me shouting. Well, you know. I mean, I've heard worse ideas.
He should actually be like, "That's your move."
Just slightly judgmental, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Really? That's the best you can do?
Like I'm hovering over them at demo tables. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. You'll be
really
fine.
Bad move. You do my terrible Alpha 5 impression.
Oh.
But you don't need to hear it because it's so bad.
Do we not?
We don't.
Okay.
You brought it up.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
I bring it up and I regret it.
Immediately.
Take it back. Rewind. This is live, right? I can just.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, just we'll take it out in the edit. Yeah, of course. Naturally. Yeah, I don't know. That'll be up to Renegade if we have some good app integration concepts for Heroes of the Grid.
No comment.
I am not a coder myself, so this isn't really my jam. But hey, you know, I'm just really excited that other people are excited about this game because it's so big and so cool.
Yeah, this is very neat.
How big is the box? Somebody did it, measured it in yings.
One by three yings, I believe, was the measurement someone
gave. Yeah, so 1 by 3 yings is the box size.
Do you want to get it? Because I think in the picture, people don't understand. Because when we hold it, it's out from your body. So I'm actually not a very tiny person, even though I'm completely hidden by the box.
You are.
You're a pretty tiny person.
Well, okay, what MacBook Pro is it? Everyone's comparing them to different things.
It's a 15-inch MacBook Pro.
It's actually small.
So if you go and look at the list of all of the things that have to fit in this box, there are a few of them.
Like this is, I've eaten cakes that did not that are too small for this box.
Yeah. It is my thumbs up bigger than that thumbs up.
This is so helpful for the people like trying to like you measured it. You're, okay, so how
it's
big is
one thumbs up?
It will fit on your shelf.
It will.
Hopefully.
If you have a Calyx standard.
Oh, I just said a shelf. I didn't say a brand.
I have Calyx.
It will certainly be. it will hopefully fit in your home. Ideally, yeah.
So the storage box, it's just a house.
I'm going to strap this to the roof of my car if I want to get this home. Like,
this is why we can't ship to P.O. boxes legitimately, because a lot of P.O. boxes are actually
too small for this.
Man. So I apologize in advance. But it'll be very exciting.
Needs a banana for scale.
Yeah,
yes.
It does. Do we have any bananas?
No bananas. Sorry. But we're excited.
There's some like Cheez-Its in the
water bottle for scale.
Water bottle.
This isn't a meme.
No.
Yeah. I could like eat a dinner off of this. Like this is actually a really good size.
A serving tray.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
That's great. You know?
Nice.
Yeah. You can buy it for that reason, you know, really. So you can use it as a good laptop.
I think so.
Getting too hot.
I'm totally building a Heroes of the Grid box fort. Yes.
Share it on Twitter.
Yeah, to see that.
Oh,
awesome. Well, Jonathan, we have lots of exciting content coming from you soon. We can't talk about any of it yet, but
I've been having a very good time on things that I shouldn't talk about.
Yes,
I can see your I see that look. All right, got it.
Yep, exactly. we do have more stuff in the works for all of our Power Rangers fans. It's been fun.
Uh-huh.
And we will share that with you at the appropriate time.
Not ominous at all.
No.
It's good. It'll be good. I'm excited.
Enemy of fun right here. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us on our show. And go back to playtesting.
It'll be very warm. I'm assuming. Lots of us in that seat.
Yeah. So I was sitting right next to Jonathan off camera, ready to pounce on him and clap my hand over his mouth if he talked about any of the other stuff.
Yep. Yep.
But he survived. He didn't mind.
That's good.
I'm still alive. They duct tape me all the time.
Yeah.
Trajan. We have Trajan.
Oh, what is this all about? Actually, this is one of Sarah's favorite games of all time.
I love this game so much, although I did put one copy of it through the washing machine once.
What?
I love it so much that I took it on vacation with me, and it didn't really fit very well in my luggage, and so I took out all of the pieces, but one of the pieces, we put all the cards into the bag, and the bag ended up with our laundry.
It's very irresponsible of you.
I know, I was very sad.
You're an irresponsible game owner.
That's why we had to remake it, so that I could get another copy.
Yeah, that's it.
But yes, this is by Stefan Fell. He is one of my favorite designers in the whole industry. I absolutely love his stuff. And he has a very particular style. This one I also really like because as a rondel, this is one of the first games that I ever played that had a rondel mechanic, and I really enjoy it. Basically, you have a circle, and each one is cut out into pie pieces. You pick up all of the action cubes in one of those pie pieces, and then you put one at a time into the next each adjacent pie piece, and you get to do that many actions for however many you picked up, and then you're redistributing them to give yourself other different actions in the future. and
this is not a simple game.
There's a lot going on, and then you have lots of different areas of the board that do different things. It's very Euro-y.
Those of you not familiar, that will give you a full. That's the back of the box. So there's look at you get Sarah right there.
Okay. I love it. So this is just about to hit our warehouses, and then we'll get it out to friendly local game stores. It's available on our website. You can find it anywhere games are sold. Blah blah blah. Please play this game, because if you haven't played it, you have not experienced the excitement.
Right.
Of
this is an enthusiast
Euro
game.
Obviously, Sarah's very enthusiastic.
She's very enthusiastic.
See, we called it enthusiast games because those are ones that I'm enthusiastic about.
That's right.
Altiplano.
Yep. All those good ones.
So, we're giving one away.
We are.
Huh.
Not this one.
Not to Sarah, though.
Not to Sarah.
No.
She's already proved irresponsible.
That's right.
That's true.
You've already drowned one game.
I did.
Is there like an organization for the mistreatment of games?
Oh no! That like shuffling your cards harshly, eating Cheetos while playing games.
Yeah.
Bad.
Shame, shame, shame.
There's a lot of stuff in this box.
Yeah, it's a heavy one.
Well, it's literally a heavy game.
It is. Physically large. All
right, so what do we have to, what do the people have to do to win one of these?
So, I have one question for you. Me, the chat master. Whoever answers correctly, the fastest, will win this copy of the game. No.
Okay.
The question is, I almost said the answer in the question.
Hey, Jonathan, next week we might have an opening for a permanent spot.
Permanent spot as a marketing master? Are you interested?
I am not.
Thank you, Jonathan. Your question is, are you ready? Who is Trajan? Who is Trajan? Why is he important? What was his title? That's the actual question. What was the title? What?
I'll do you one better. How is Trajan?
No. When is Trajan?
Oh, boy.
Movie reference.
Yes, it's a movie reference.
I did it.
I know. It's amazing.
It doesn't happen very often.
So people have to answer that question?
Oh, there
the
we
first,
go. There
first
we go.
One to put it in there?
Matthew Suker. Emperor. Yeah. Emperor Trajan. Yes.
Yep.
He's very important.
Yeah.
So what does Matthew need to do to get his copy of, not this copy, because this one's special.
Yes. Matthew.
It's been touched by human hands. We want to give him a fresh one.
Yeah, there's right. Sealed in plastic.
Yeah, sealed in plastic.
All I need to do is email info@renegadegames.com. And that will go to someone who isn't here, but who will...
Does anybody check that?
I don't think anyone checks that.
What's info@renegadegames.com?
I don't know.
What is that?
Not sure. I would probably, if I were you, send it to customerservice@renegadegames.com.
Listen to her. Don't listen to Danny.
You can try info. But
yeah. Yeah, sure. Try info.
I'm going to type it out correctly. There we go.
Hey!
Right. So Matthew, right? Matthew?
Matthew.
Did you read it right?
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I'm just double checking. Yeah,
Matthew.
Good job, Matthew. We also might have an opening for you on the show in the future. So, you know.
My brain is full of so many events. I don't have time for emails.
Your brain is full, period.
It's been a busy week and it's only Wednesday. We've been spending a lot of time together on this couch that is very small. Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
It's not true.
All right, so we talked about all sorts of stuff. And Jonathan didn't spill any beans.
Success.
You.
I did stuff.
You did stuff.
Yeah.
That was good. So when are we going to do this again? In a couple weeks?
2 weeks, which is January 23rd.
I have other stuff from China to show.
Right now?
No.
Oh.
In 2 weeks. Nope.
Okay. January 23rd. We'll make an event on Facebook. We'll remind you in the newsletter and on social media. And you can subscribe to the YouTube thing when it's up.
All right.
And you can send us questions ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
info@renegadegames.com.
Or you can tag us online.
Yeah.
That's probably better than info.
Mm. Info is not a real thing, to be
it's
clear.
Not, it's
don't
really not.
Use that for anything.
It's not. And I know this because I email it all the time. And I get the, this does not exist.
in reply.
You email info? Email
I think it goes to Jenny.
Oh.
That's not right.
Oh, well, thank you so much for everyone joining us. It was fun to get to share a little bit of our space, and hopefully we'll get to show you more of it in the future.
Yep.
And have a wonderful 2 weeks. We'll see you all soon. Bye.
Bye. Maybe.